the great physician. Okay? And I think that that's a particular aspect of Jesus that I think for many people today, for different reasons, has a tremendous amount of significance, perhaps more than maybe other ways that we see Jesus. And the reason I say that is because, you know, even within our own church family here, we have a lot of people on our prayer list that are struggling with physical infirmities, don't we? A lot of people. Our prayer list is long. And so the whole idea of Jesus as being the great physician has a tremendous amount of, I would suggest, daily significance to a lot of people here today. You see? It also, when we look at the other aspect of Jesus being the great physician, and we're going to talk about the spiritual aspect of that, of course, I'd suggest to you that has daily implications for all of us in our lives. So let's take a look at Jesus, the great physician. Do you know my Jesus as the great physician? That's the question that I put before you this morning. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, if you'll turn there. In this particular story of Jesus healing a man at the pool of Siloam, what we find here, and there's really two aspects of this story that I want us to focus on this morning. John tells us that Jesus goes up there to the pool of Bethsaida, and here there's a great number of people who are disabled. People who are blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And then verse 5, he introduces us to the subject of this story. Okay? One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Okay? So right now, that's the focus of our story at this particular point. Now, here's what I want to call your attention to. Jesus asked this man a question that, you know, sometimes might seem to be an inappropriate question. Okay? If you think about it for just a moment, somebody who is sick, somebody who is especially someone who's been infirmed for this long, dealing with a physical ailment this long, this question that Jesus asked seems almost inappropriate. What is the question that Jesus asked the man? Quite simply, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now, think about that question in the context of our prayer list for just a moment, okay? Think about that question in terms of all the different folks that we have that we know, whether it's our church members or whether it's family members that we have, work associates or whoever it is, people that we know that are struggling with some kind of physical infirmity. How do you suppose they might react or respond to that question? Do you want to get well? Okay? I mean, we have them on the prayer list. Why? Because we automatically assume they want to get well, right? Okay? Otherwise, why are we praying for them if they don't want to get well? So, we need to take a look at and understand why is Jesus asking this question that on the surface seems to be so obvious. Do you want to get well? This man had been an invalid for 38 years. You see, I think the reason that Jesus asked this question of this particular man is because Jesus is pointing to a fact about a lot of people in their physical infirmities. And that fact is that there are some people who are content to stay exactly where they are with their physical infirmities. Now, we might think that that's kind of odd. Why would anybody want to stay sick? Well, there are various reasons why someone might want to stay sick. You see, number one is because sometimes those kinds of situations can bring them a lot of wanted and needed attention to themselves. Sometimes it's the sympathy that people get, that they feed on, that they need, so to speak. And if they were to get well, then they would no longer have those things. You see? Sometimes it's also an excuse for laziness or for getting out of whatever other responsibilities a person might have. And those are reasons why someone might not want to get well. And we see from this story, as Jesus asked this man that question, "Do you want to get well?" Immediately, what does this man do? He begins to make excuses as to why he's not getting well. And the excuses have to do with everybody else and what they're not doing, you see, and what they're doing rather than on himself. You see, there is a belief that John tells us amongst the people that occasionally an angel would come down and stir the waters in the pool, and whoever the first one was that got into the water, they would be healed of their infirmity. And this man's excuse has to do with that every time that happens, somebody else always gets in the water before him, and no one ever helps him to get into the water so he can be healed. So we look at this story, and this question is an important question for us today in terms of healing by the great physician. The question is, do you want to get well? And I think physically, sometimes we've got to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, okay, does that apply to me? Or is it easier for me just to continue on the way I'm doing so that I, you know, have this or that excuse or what have you? Or I'm comfortable. I've kind of learned how to live with this particular situation. And so if it changes, then I'm going to have to do something different. So it calls upon us. And we don't like that kind of a thought, do we? You see? But I think Jesus calls upon us to take an honest appraisal at ourselves in those situations and say, okay, what is my desire here in this whole situation? And sometimes it's a matter of, am I doing everything I can, you see, to take care of myself and to do what I need to be doing in order to get well? Okay? But there is another aspect of this that we have to understand. And that brings us to the second part of all of this. And that's the spiritual part. You see? Because you see, the same thing is true of sin sickness. Okay? That question is very valid when it comes to sin sickness. And Jesus, the great physician, has come not just to heal people physically, but primarily to heal people spiritually. But again, just like with physical illnesses, there are sometimes those who don't want to get well. And that question then is very valid. Do you want to get well? See? And it's a question I'm convinced that you and I not only need to ask ourselves in the things that we struggle with in our own lives, and sometimes the sin battles that we wage with Satan, do we want to get well? Do we want to overcome that sin? Or are we content to just live with it the way that it is in our lives? But we also need to ask that question to other people. Do you want to get well? The great physician has the power to heal you. But you've got to want to. See? So do you want to get well? Now, then we come down to a little bit further down in the story, and we come to the second aspect of this encounter that Jesus has with this man that for our study this morning is significant. It brings us to number two on here. When Jesus later on encounters this man again, after the man has been healed, Jesus makes this statement to him. Look down in verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Wow. What a statement to make to someone who's been an invalid for 38 years, you say, and here they've been laying there at the pool and brought there probably every day by family or friends to beg or what have you, and here Jesus heals him and then turns around and says to him, "Now, you're well again. Now stop sinning or something worse might end up happening to you." Well, there's some implications that we need to understand from that statement that Jesus makes to this man. Okay? John does not tell us why this man became an invalid. He only tells us that he had been an invalid for 38 years. So we don't really know what the cause of his condition was initially. Okay? And it could be possible, some have suggested, that whatever caused his condition, his infirmity, was a result, a direct result of some sinful behavior on his part. That's a possibility. But it's also a possibility, since Jesus says, "Stop sinning," that even in his infirmed condition, this man was continuing to sin in his life. Now, we might look at that and go, what was he doing? What could he have been doing? The man's an invalid, isn't he? Yeah. But that's part of the point. Even an invalid, someone who can't get up and walk around, can sin. You see, we have to go back and understand, and this is one of the implications here that I think Jesus wants us to know, not all sin is physical in nature. The root of sin is where? It's in the heart. You see? And Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, recorded over in Matthew for us, makes it very clear that people can sin without actually doing the thing that they're thinking about in their heart. You see? Like, for instance, committing murder. Jesus says, "You have heard that it is said, do not commit murder. But I tell you, anyone who hates his brother has already committed murder." He says the same thing about committing adultery. You see, anyone who lusts after a woman or looks at a woman lustfully, he says, has already committed adultery in his heart. You see, so the sin takes place in the heart even before, or if it never does occur physically. Now, we don't know what sins this man was committing. Obviously, he was doing something, or Jesus would not have told him to stop sinning. Okay? But whatever was happening to him, whatever was going on in his life, Jesus called upon him to stop doing it. Because if he didn't stop, something worse might happen to you. Now, we might, at that particular point, and many people have asked, what could be worse than being an invalid for 38 years? I'll tell you what could be worse. That's being in hell for all eternity. You see, being an invalid for 38 years, that's a physical thing, and as bad as that would be, at some point, if you died an invalid, then that's going to end. Your physical body is dead and there's no more physical infirmity, but if you die in your sins, then you have a spiritual infirmity to live with for all eternity. That would certainly be worse, would it not? And thus Jesus' statement to him, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. I think what Jesus is trying to get him and you and I to understand is there are worse things that we have to contend with and deal with than the physical stuff that we have to deal with in this world. And that's an important part of understanding the great physician. Now, you know, we have an awesome, awesome prayer ministry going on here, don't we? And all you have to do is go back to the back section back there and you look over on this side and you see the prayer requests that are over here, and you look over on this side and you see the cards that represent the answered prayers, you see. And some of those prayers that God has answered, you know, are just amazing in response to our prayers. There's folks like Nathan, you know, and I mean, you know, the great physician, I'm convinced with all my heart that the great physician has healed Nathan to the point that he has gotten to where he is now. Were it not for the great physician, where would Nathan be? See? And I hope that I don't embarrass you, Johnny, but I don't know how many of you know Johnny's story. But Johnny was in the hospital and the doctors and the nurses all but gave up on him. I mean, as far as they were concerned, he was already dead. It was just a matter of time. But you know what? The great physician came to Johnny and not only healed him physically, but Johnny is here today as a Christian because the great physician healed him spiritually as well. And that's the power that the great physician Jesus Christ has, you see. That's what He does in people's lives, you see. And that's why He calls upon us, you see, to look at our own lives and asks us that question, do you want to get well? And it's not just referring to our physical lives, but it's referring to our spiritual life as well. And in order for us to completely be healed, we need to stop sinning so that something worse doesn't happen to us. Okay? Now, there's another aspect of the great physician. And by the way, you know, there's... just like the high priest, you know, we talked about Jesus being our high priest, and there's so many things we could talk about, you know, with Jesus, about Jesus being the great physician. Just look at all the different miracles that are recorded for us and the encounters that people had with Jesus in His ministry. But I've chosen these two particular events to really focus on this specific aspect of Jesus as our great physician. So we look at Jesus in this situation with this man, this encounter of the healing at the pool, and asking this question, do you want to get well? And then the challenge and the call for us to stop sinning so something worse doesn't happen to us. But there's one other aspect that I want you to focus on. And that takes us to the scripture reading that we had as we began over in Luke chapter 8. If you'll turn over there for just a moment. If you notice on your outline, the title of this particular point here is Power Has Gone Out From Me. Now, this is an interesting story from the standpoint of exactly that. Jesus recognizing and knowing when His power has been tapped into. Here is Jesus walking along with this crowd, and He's on His way, by the way, to heal somebody else. Okay? And this crowd of people are all just pressing in on Him, and Jesus, in the midst of this crowd, stops and asks the question. Here he is with these questions again that just sometimes seem so bizarre. Who touched me? Have any of you ever been in a crowd like that where, I mean, you just kind of like, you know, there's no room and everybody's just kind of, you know, doing this number and Jesus in the midst of this crowd says, who touched me? And of course, you know, Peter's going, you know, hey, you know, Jesus, look around here. Everybody's touching you. You see? You know? What do you mean, who touched me? Of course people are touching you. Everybody's pressing in on you. But Jesus' point was not just the physical touch, you see. Of course everybody was pressing in on him. That's why they were there, you see. But the difference of this touch that Jesus felt and recognized, that's where the story is. That's where the power is. This woman who had this 12 years, she had this problem with bleeding. And she'd gone to all the doctors and spent all of her money trying to be healed, and no one was able to heal her. But apparently, whatever she had heard up to this point about Jesus and His ability to heal people caused her to want, more than anything else, just to be able to touch the hem of His garment. I don't know about you, but that in itself is a powerful, powerful faith statement. It's not like she's going, I need to get to Jesus so I can shake His hand. It's not like she's saying, I need to get to Him so I can tell Him what my problem is and maybe He'll lay His hands on me like He's done with others and He'll heal me. Her faith was so strong that she's convinced, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, maybe. Maybe. I'll be healed. Wow. That is awesome. Awesome faith. And she does. And so, that, to me, kind of adds even more to that whole concept of Jesus saying, who touched me? Like you would know that somebody touched the hem of your garment? It's not like they rubbed elbows or shoulders or anything. She touched the hem of His garment. And He felt it. Why did He feel it? Because power had gone out from Him. That's why He felt it. Power has gone out from me, Jesus says. Now, why is that point so significant for you and I today? I would suggest to you because of this. First of all, Jesus knows. Jesus knows when power has gone out from Him. Jesus is in control of His power. In other words, you know, like this woman thought she could sneak up and get a little bit of that healing power and nobody, including Jesus, would know. But the message is, Jesus knows. And so what that means is that no one can secretly tap into Jesus' power without Him knowing about it. Okay? You're not going to sneak up on Jesus, you see, and get a little bit of His healing power in your life, and He's not going to know about it. Okay? You can't touch the hem of His garment and receive power without Jesus knowing it. Jesus is in control of His power. And we need to understand that in our lives. When it comes to our physical needs, as we go to God in prayer and we ask Him to heal Nathan, and we ask Him to heal Ada, and we ask Him to heal Gene, and all of the different people that we've been praying about over and over again, we need to understand that Jesus distributes His power with His full knowledge. and he does it according to his will. And that's important for us to understand because it brings us to that question, why does he heal some and not others? See? And we continue to pray for some people and some have been healed and others have not. And we can sometimes look at that and go, but why? And you know, as a preacher and, you know, an elder and all those kind of things, I would love to be able to say, oh, I know the reason for that. I don't. I don't have an answer for that. Because it has to do with what God's will is in each and every certain situation. Why does God heal some and not others? Well, the reality is, we first of all have to understand this, all of us are one day going to have to die. And if God healed every infirmity that everybody had all the time, then nobody would die. You see? And sometimes we'd go, wow, wouldn't that be great? But no, that's not part of God's plan because God in His infinite grace and mercy provided death as a way for us to get out of this world, this physical world, in order to get to Him. You see? So we have to accept death as a reality of life. The Scriptures tell us it is appointed unto men once to die and after that the judgment. So we have to then understand God is not going to heal everyone that we want healed all the time. We're all going to die sooner or later. As someone has once said, we ain't getting out of this thing alive. Okay? So then why do we bother? Well, because I believe and I'm convinced in what the Scriptures teach that sometimes as we're praying and we're approaching God about certain things that we can change God's mind in certain circumstances and situations. And God, because of our prayers, He will answer those prayers on behalf of certain people because it fits within His plan. And that's what we have to understand and that's what we have to accept, that it is God's plan. For whatever reason, God will heal some and He will not heal others. And I'm not about to question Him on that. Okay? I'm just going to accept that He's God and He's the one who gets to make those decisions. Okay? But I do think that part of it goes back to what we had said before. Is that question initially, do you want to get well? Okay. But the point here is, God will heal, God will use His power as He sees fit. And no one can take that away from Him. And no one can get it without Him knowing about it. And that power is there to heal not only physically, as God chooses and sees fit to do, but also to heal spiritually. In other words, no one can sneak in to salvation without God knowing it. You see? No one can tap into the power of Jesus to save their life and their soul without Jesus knowing about it. Because it's through Him that we have to be saved. And so we come to those questions. Do you want to get well? And then that statement, stop sinning, or something worse might happen to you. And we put those together and we look at this particular statement here and this question that Jesus asked, who touched me? Power has gone out from me. We begin to understand the great physician for who and what He is. That He has the power to heal us physically as He so chooses to do, but more importantly, spiritually, as He chose to do with all who will come to Him and accept Him. And then finally, for our lives on a daily basis, we've talked about spiritual warfare over and over and over again, we need to understand that He has the power to help us to fight our daily fight against Satan. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, the first statement that Paul makes there concerning spiritual warfare is that he says, "Stand firm then in His mighty power." Okay? In His mighty power. That's the same power that this woman tapped into when she touched the cloak of His garment. You see? It's the spiritual healing power of the great physician. Now, the question, again, I pose to you this morning, do you know my Jesus, the great physician? Whether it's a physical infirmity that is in your life or in the life of a loved one that you have you brought it to Jesus? But more importantly, if it's a spiritual infirmity, sin that you still are carrying in your life, that you have not let go of, do you know Jesus as the great physician that can heal you of that sin problem and bring you into a relationship with Him? If either of those situations apply to you, it's a great opportunity for you to call upon the great physician for healing. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an invitation, a time and an opportunity for anyone to come and to say, "I need help with this," or "I need help with that." I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up front. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone who would like perhaps to have a private conversation or private prayer with him, and he'll be in the back to receive you there. But the point is, the great physician is ready to receive anyone who wants to get well. Let's stand together and sing.